Right. Now I've kind of used up all my preaching time, so I'm going to have to preach quickly. No, I'm not going to preach quickly. I'm going to preach the word. Tonight's message is in line with our focus. Didn't get much time to speak about it this morning. We enjoyed this morning's service. Wow. The Lord's calling us, isn't He? But wasn't it a bit scary when He said, if you don't, well, I'll move along. That to me is scary. But it's a blessing at the same time, because what it says is, I'm willing to use you right now. All we've got to do is say, yes, please. Right, this is our month of sanctification and consecration. Remember that we agreed, we didn't agree, I requested, and I said that we will fast on Mondays. So please remember to fast, if you're able to fast tomorrow. This is our month of sanctification and consecration. Next week, there are two separate outreaches that will be taking place, not through the church, but through members of the church. Ryan has got a revival that he's leading in Tukums Rus on Saturday, and Glenn and the group that he's working with has got a revival that we're working that is going to be taking place in Lewisham. Ach, not what's it here? Princess. Also next Saturday. So God has got divine timing, and this is His timing. Let's pray for them. Don't forget to pray for Phyllis and Nick and the family. Not having an easy time of it right now. And we just trust for the Lord's grace and mercy. All right, our month of sanctification and consecration. To sanctify means to be set apart for intended use. To consecrate means to make holy. And we need to be sanctified in every area of our lives. But tonight, I want to speak to us about the sanctification of the mind. We need to be sanctified in our mind. Now, when we start thinking about being sanctified in the mind, and yes, I'm going to jump ahead of my notes, so if I repeat myself, I apologize. But if you think about being sanctified in your mind, then you think of Romans 12 verse 2, which says, don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. And that speaks of holiness, being transformed, not conformed. I thought Transformers would be a very good name for a young youth group or a children's church. Transformers, Glenn. Maybe we've got to have Transformers. And I just pictured those machines that are transformed. But I was picturing this scripture, Transformers. I think the youngsters would enjoy that. But that's just me talking, okay? I'm not saying that's what you must do. But we need to be transformed. So when we think of sanctification of the mind, we think about our thoughts, we think about holiness, we think about doing what's right, thinking on that which is right. The man who looks at a woman, lusts for him in his heart, he's committed adultery. We think about those kind of things, holy thoughts, thinking pure thoughts, the mind of Christ. But tonight I want to speak to you about sanctified thoughts going further than just holiness. Sanctified thoughts being about what is going on in our mind, not just with regard to holiness, but with regard to every aspect of our lives. Because if it happens in our mind, sooner or later it's going to represent itself throughout our bodies. It's going to come out in our actions. And we know that the battlefield is the mind. I want to tell you about Joseph's dream from Genesis 41. Sure, it's very hot. In Genesis 41, God gave Joseph a dream, or gave Pharaoh a dream, which Joseph interpreted. And the part of the dream was about seven cows, seven fat cows. And then the second part of the dream was there were seven skinny cows, and they ate up the seven fat cows. And what it was speaking about is that there are times of plenty in our lives. There's times when things are going well, when our bank account is full, when our health is good, when things are going well in our relationships. There's times when everything just seems to be going right. But there's also times in our lives when we have skinny cow days, when things go wrong, when we're not well, when there's not enough money to meet the end of the month and to meet all of our commitments. So there's different times in our lives. We go over the hills and we go through the valleys. That's life. It's a series of ebb and flow. But tonight's message is all about being sanctified in our minds. The Bible teaches us how to think and react and to live successfully, not only in the good times, but in the bad times. If you go into the Word of God, it'll tell you what to do when things are good, and it'll tell you what to do when things are bad. If you think about the dream that Joseph interpreted, Joseph said, the seven fat cows speak about 7 years of plenty. But the seven thin cows speak about 7 years of famine that is coming to the land of Egypt. So you need to plan. You need to plan for the bad times. If you don't plan for the bad times, the skinny cows are going to go and eat up the fat cows. And what did they do? Joseph advised, and they stored up, and they stored up, and they stored up during the good times, so that when the bad times came, they had more than enough. In fact, they were able to support even the nations around them. And Pharaoh became the richest king that ever lived in Egypt, because what happens is the people said, we'll give you our lands, we'll give you everything we've got, just so that you can give us what we need to survive. Amen? Okay, that's my paraphrase. So in the skinny, in the good times, we need to prepare for the bad times. No matter what season we are in or what we're going through in our lives, the Bible teaches us how to live in a manner that will result in continual victory. And yet, why do we have times in our lives where we feel like we just don't have the victory? I can tell you, on the way to prayer meeting on Friday night, and prayer meeting was a skinny cow prayer meeting on Friday night, there were just about five or six of us here, I'd actually hit the low. I'd hit the low. And I felt like my faith was like falling apart. Now, it's a bad thing for the pastor to say that, isn't it? But I'm a real person, just like you're a real person. And we go through ebb and flow. But I needed to be careful in that time of skinniness in my life that I didn't allow the skinny cows to eat the fat cows, because what's happening is God is busy blessing in the church. He's busy blessing in our lives. He's busy bringing change. He's bringing new people in. We went out and we ministered on Wednesday and lives were touched and changed. And praise the Lord that those people came. Some of them came to church this morning. Can you believe it? Yes, amen. We can believe it. And he used to say that God isn't going to just carry on and carry on and carry on and carry on doing that. Because he will, if we'll just trust him. So maybe what the Lord is saying is, I'm taking you into a season of fatness. How are you going to respond in the season of fatness? Are you going to focus on the negative things that happen? Are you going to focus on that which isn't right? So let me give you an example of focusing on the negative things that happen. So some of you would have arrived tonight and I didn't greet you. Maybe I didn't. I think I greeted everybody. But let's say I didn't greet you tonight. Or let's say last week I didn't greet you. Or whenever it was. How many of you were irritated when I did that? You see, you walk in a place of blessing. But the moment you allow something like that to irritate you, guess what you're doing? You're busy letting the thin cow eat the fat cow, because you're forgetting about all God's blessings in your life. You're forgetting that the Lord has put you in a family, in a place of blessing, in a place where His presence is. And the only thing you can focus on is the fact that Pastor Keith didn't greet me. So you get robbed of the praise and worship. You get robbed of the presence of the Lord. And who knows if the Lord didn't have a prophetic word for you, which was not able to come forth because your attitude was wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say tonight? If you're getting what I'm trying to say tonight, say amen. I'm preaching totally away from my message. No, not away from what's in the message, but I'm not preaching what I've put down here. This is a spiritual principle we need to apply in our lives. We need to apply the fact into our minds. You see, our minds is where it all works. If I have that thought about, oh, well, the pastor didn't think, where does it start? It starts not in your spirit. It starts, yeah. Ah, he didn't get me. He doesn't care. Amen? Or let's say something goes wrong. Like me, on the way to church on Friday night, I was complaining to Jim, but this is happening, and this, and you know, the Lord called us, and He said we'd be fine. But now look at what's happening, yeah, and then, oh, tochi, you know. Sorry, that's my new saying that I'm causing people to say. It is what it is, oh, tochi. But what I'm trying to say is, we take our eyes off of the good, and God is busy moving in this place. And the enemy lets us focus on, oh, there's something wrong in the finances, or the health, or something's gone wrong somewhere. And we focus on the wrong things. It's a spiritual principle we all need to apply to our lives. How we behave and react and respond to the good times in our lives will determine the outcome of what happens in the bad times in our lives. If Joseph had said that to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, ah, you're talking rubbish, you stupid Hebrew. That's interesting. If Pharaoh had not listened to him, they would have enjoyed the fat cows, and they would have gone into the time of skinny cows, and half of the nation would have died from starvation. Amen? And if we ignore God's blessings in our lives, and His favor, and His provision in our lives, when things start going wrong, all we're going to do is get a bad attitude. All we're going to do is say, God doesn't love me. All we're going to do is say, God can't provide for me. Because we're focusing only on that. Instead of remembering, but I've got a roof over my head, but I've got clothing to wear, but I've got work, but I've got money in my bank account. All we focus is on that little thing. And the little thing robs us of our joy, of all the blessings, all the protection of God upon our lives. We focus on that one little thing. So the key that I'm trying to tell you about tonight is the fact that we must not allow the thin cows to eat the fat cows in our lives. And what has that got to do with sanctification? We need to sanctify our thinking. We need to not just think holy thoughts, but we've got to start to change our mindset. When the tough times start to come, I've got to say, I need to sanctify my mind. I need to set my mind aside. I need to set my mind up. Whoops, my mind. Sally's there. Oh, now I better think right. We need to set our minds apart. We've got to stop thinking the way the world thinks. The world keeps complaining. I promise you, you can go and switch on the radio now. It's 7:05. Let's say it's at 8 o'clock. And you'll hear somebody complaining about what Jacob Zuma said, about the municipality, about, I don't know, we can think about, sorry, what is it? Eskom, about the receiver of revenue, about the dollar exchange rate, about the price of petrol. That's the way the world thinks. I promise you, the radio stations, all they want to do is focus on them. In fact, I think they thrive on. But sometimes our thinking gets like that. And what we need to do is sanctify our thinking. Because God has not given us a mindset like that. God has given us a mindset that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than conquerors. You are overcomers. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am Jehovah Nissi, your banner. I go before you. Who cares what you're facing? Because I'm going, who cares what you're going to face at work tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday. You don't want to go to work on Monday. You're already feeling, I'm speaking to somebody here. You're already feeling down because tomorrow's work. You already got that. I know that anxiety. I've been there. God says, what are you thinking about? I'm going before you. I'm your banner. I'll go before you. I'll prepare the way for you. I will make that road, that valley, I'll make it flat. I'll make that mountain move and cast it into the sea. I will prepare the way for you. I will give you favor in front of the people. That's what God says to you today. Get rid of that anxiety. Because it doesn't come from a sanctified mind. A sanctified mind says, I've got the mind of Christ. I'm victorious. We've got to get away from thinking that a sanctified mind is only about holiness. It's about everything that goes on in you. And God wants us in this month of consecration and sanctification to start thinking right. To start thinking like believers. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. The enemy is under our feet. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. It starts with the upper room. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the 120 gathered in the upper room. And they were there busy praising and worshiping God. And all of a sudden, whoosh, along came the Holy Spirit. And he baptized them with fire and anointing and power. And he gave them, we heard about it this morning, the power to go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What we need is to know that this is the upper room of our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit baptism to take control of our minds. Can you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? It's not just about what happens in your spirit. It's about what happens in your mind. Because God came to save us body, soul, and spirit. Where is the soul? The soul is your will and emotions and your thoughts. He came to save us here. And here. And here. Are you with me? So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need our upper room. Now that was very interesting. To be filled. It's just the enemy messing with me. My notes are gone. Oh dear. All right. I don't actually need them, but I'm going to get them. Here they are. So we need the Holy Spirit saturating our minds if we're going to have sanctified minds. You know what? If we don't have the Holy Spirit sanctifying our minds, then we get what Joyce Meyer speaks about. Stinking thinking. We need the Holy Spirit to come and give us clean thinking. We need our minds to be pure and full of His presence. We need to overcome negative thinking, defeatist and bad attitudes. We need a Holy Spirit saturated and sanctified mind. If we can do this, we won't allow the bad times to negate the good in our lives. If we can just get this right, it will impact our thinking and our mindsets. This is going to change our lives. When we start to think right, we will start to do things. Because where do things start? It starts in a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does it say? Is that correct? Yeah, but it starts here. And then it comes out in our actions. If we start getting this right, we'll start responding correctly. If we can impact our thinking and our mindset and get Holy Spirit baptized thinking, things will change in our lives. It's not God's will for us to allow the bad times in our lives to rob us of our positive and joyful outlook in Christ. The Bible is full of references to joy. If you go and read in the New Testament, that your joy may be complete. Doesn't it say that? We teach you this, that your joy may be complete. What does David say? Or what does Nehemiah say? Nehemiah 8 verse 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the Psalms we read, in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. But you see, the enemy wants us to get some stinking thinking going on here, have unsanctified minds. We might even have holy thoughts, but when we're negative about situations and circumstances, we get that stinking thinking going on and we lose our joy. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But when I face difficulties, when I face tough circumstances, when I'm facing like Phyllis with Nick laying on that bed, just a shadow of the man he used to be. And I don't allow the enemy to fill my mind with the wrong thoughts. I can face that circumstance with courage, with an inner joy which is unexplainable, and I can be prepared, and my relationship with God is not negatively infected by the enemy. We've got to change our thinking. We've got to be sanctified in our minds. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, it says this, and I took the New International because I just liked it. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Think about that. Through and through. Think of a hunter. If the bullet goes through and through, it goes all the way through. It doesn't stop halfway. May He sanctify you through and through. In the New King James Version, that word through and through, or those words are replaced by the word completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be blameless of stinking thinking. Yes, it's holiness. We mustn't have our minds polluted with worldly lusts and sinful desires that are so prominent about us. But it actually goes further than that. Last week I shared the meaning of sanctification. And it means this, a state of proper functioning. We need to bring our minds to a state of proper functioning. Our minds need to be set apart to think like children of the living God. Think. Remember I said, if a pen is sanctified, and a pen is sanctified when it's used for writing. The pen isn't sanctified when it's used for punching holes and stuff. Do you know that? Our minds are sanctified when we allow our thoughts to be the thoughts that God wants us to think, instead of having negative attitudes and allowing everything that's negative to get to us. We've got so many good things going for us. We've got salvation, protection, the joy of the Lord, favor, provision, health, a good church, a home. Most of us have a roof over our head. Most of us have eaten today. When we focus on the bad times, we stand the risk of forgetting about how good God is to us. Even in the church, we need to sanctify our thinking. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 20, it says this, but in a great house, say that with me, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Even in the church, the devil will try and rob us if we don't have sanctified thinking. I gave the example of if I don't greet you, and you allow that to get you, and it robs you of your time of praise and worship. Instead of focusing on the wonderful praise and worship which has resulted in God's tangible presence, sometimes we focus on the drums that are too loud, or the bass guitar, Joshua, that is too loud, or the singing, or the songs that are too modern, or too old. Stinking thinking. Amen. We need to be sanctified in the thinking of our mouth. In the great house, there are things of honor and dishonor. Don't let them get in the way. It remains a great house. Who believes this is a great house? Did you hear what Sharon said this morning as she stood up there? She didn't know what I said 2 weeks ago at night. God has set apart this place strategically. This is a strategically positioned church. In Charles Dickens' book, A Tale of Two Cities, he wrote these words, "It was the best of times and it was the worst of times." Many of our lives right now, it might be the worst of times. We may be facing the kind of issues I spoke about, health, unemployment, family troubles, all sorts of negative problems at work. But at the same time, it's the best of times. We're blessed, we have favor, we have provision in the Lord's presence. The enemy wants us to focus on the worst of times. The Lord, however, wants us to focus on victory. It may be the worst of times, but it's our response here that will determine whether we'll be victorious and realize that it's the best of times at the same time. Are you getting me tonight? In our lives, there's parallels. We face difficulties, but we face joys at the same time. Makes no difference. I'll give you a good example. Best of times, worst of times. I have a wonderful, beautiful, blessed, brand new car. There's around about 2,000 kilometers on the car. It's about 6 weeks old. I was driving home from a hospital visit on Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. And a car bumped into me. Drove into the back of my car. My brand new car. Actually not my car. Whack! It was the worst of times. But praise God for the tow bar that I had put on the car when I bought it. Because he hit the tow bar and didn't damage the car. It was the best of times. God can turn a negative. You know when that guy got out the car, I wasn't angry with him. I had a look at it. The front of his car looked worse than the back of my car. It was the worst of times and the worst of times. What the enemy planned for evil, God turned out for good. And I can praise him for that. Amen. Best of times and the worst of times. The key to not being robbed of your joy is to have sanctified thinking. God always intended for us to be overcomers and conquerors in Christ in every time of our lives. I don't think I need to say much more than this. I want to just give you one more example. In the last days, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says this, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, the worst of times." We know it. If you look around, you can see it. But the Bible speaks in Joel 2 verse 29 about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says, "In those days," who knows we're living in those days, "I will pour, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So in these days of perilous times, we've got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The best of times and the worst of times. What are we going to focus on, church? Are we going to have a sanctified mind? Are we going to choose to be positive? Or are we going to choose to be negative? Has the word of the Lord made sense to you tonight? Turning around our stinking thinking. Philippians 4 verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things." Don't think on the negatives. Don't dwell on them. Don't let the enemy to pull you down. Don't let him pull you down. The Lord is telling us very clearly in Philippians 4 verse 8 to think on that which is right, to have sanctified thinking. Thinking on the good things. We must put on the helmet of salvation. We must put on the mind of Christ. We must allow the good to overcome the bad. So what is my conclusion? We need to sanctify our mind with the Word of God. We need to fill it with the Spirit of God. We need to focus not only on thinking holy thoughts, but on thinking right thoughts, in responding correctly to circumstances. When we fill our minds with the Word of God, our thinking will be sanctified because His Word is sanctified. So a good way to start having sanctified thought is to start memorizing. Where do you memorize stuff? Up here. Memorize the words. You'll have some sanctification in you. And so when the negative stuff comes, the sanctification will wash away the negative stuff. Let's focus on the good instead of the bad. Don't let the bad eat up the good. And I want to tell you one more thing tonight, church. And I speak to each and every one sitting here tonight. Myself, Cheryl, each and every one of you sitting here. Kathy, Glenn, Josh, Trevor, every person sitting here tonight. The choice we have to make tonight is our own choice. Not for me to tell you not to have those things. For you to decide not to have those things. Because I can tell you as much as I like. I'll preach you to sleep. Amen. If I haven't done so already. Okay? It's for you to decide how you're going to think going forward after tonight. But tonight, God has spoken to you about having sanctified things. And about to me. And I can tell you, I can identify with this message because I deal with those problems myself. My wife will tell you. She's the one who tries to encourage me. And then sometimes I'm even grumpy with her. Yeah. She's just smiling again. She just smiles and waves. Let's think. Oh, you may be seated for 1 second. Are you ready? I want to play a song. Sorry. As jy nou wakker. I'm sorry.